that's one of the biggest things is that I've learned as being CEO is not only building a company, but building the people.
And it's crazy because I don't know if you guys could testify to this. I feel like our 2025 has already started. Giving away a home is not as easy as just giving away a home.
No, it is not. And I'm just going to be honest with you. We're not for everyone. We are not. We are for the ones that really want a good, great quality product. We had to learn. How do you build leaders within leaders? And how do you build people for building the business? And that's the biggest thing that we've been working on. It doesn't matter how many homes we sell at the end of the year. It doesn't matter how much profit we have. Are the people happy? Are we changing people's lives? Are we growing leaders inside the business? What's coming in 2025 will shock the world. Go back to this podcast when you're listening to it. Just watch us in a month. Watch when 2025 hits. Just watch us.
Just helps production out back know exactly what your change orders are.
Welcome to the Tiny Home Podcast powered by Saddlebook, guys. What is going on? Can we get a clap?
Yeah,
let's go. Guys, it's been like 2-3 weeks since we've been together on a podcast.
I know, and it's been back and forth. Me and Austin did a podcast. It's great to be back.
Yeah, it really has. Guys, I'm not sure what episode we're on, but I know this is going to be a good one. We have a super awesome episode. We're going to hit so many awesome topics, hot topics. I mean, we're going to dive into a little bit about our design. What lifestyle do we promote? The difference between tiny homes and our residence homes. It's a big topic. But not only that, hottest topic before we get into it, rising home prices and what is the solution to it? What do you guys think?
I love it. Let's do it.
Let's do it, guys. Guys, listen, it is no secret that tiny homes are a trending topic, right? We have been busier than ever. Before we start the podcast, just tell us what's going on in Saddlebrook. What are we working on and where do we want to go this 2025?
And I know he'll say the same. God's been good. God's been working, you know, inside of this company and we're just dialing down. 2025 is right around the corner. We've got some amazing things that are coming for you guys, everybody that's watching. But honestly, it's just been us getting better as a company in order for us to serve our audience and serve the customers out there. And doing this podcast to bring you, to keep you up to date and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is just saying yes to what God's really called us for. And, you know, saying yes is not always easy.
Yeah.
Not when you're 25 and 24 and, you know, you got the world on this screen right here and you're looking, you know, that can get away from you, but God's been.
So, you know, saying yes is number one, but, you know, and living up to their core values that we've set for ourselves. It's not always easy doing that.
Absolutely.
And living by the standards and setting standards every single day that, you know, help change people's lives. That's one of the biggest things is that I've learned as being CEO is not only building a company, but building the people.
Absolutely.
So if I can't build the people, I can't, you know, what is a company? So, you know, what have we been focused on is not only building a big business or more tiny homes. It's how do you build the people that build the business and build the companies and treat, you know, when you come into the Saddlebrook atmosphere, what's most important? What's how we treat the customers? And, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
And so I always go back to that is how can we lead our people that when a customer comes in, if I'm not here, they treat them like I want to be treated. And so I think that's the biggest thing in any company is how do you build leaders within leaders and how do you build people for building the business? And that's the biggest thing that we've been working on. It doesn't matter how many homes we sell at the end of the year. It doesn't matter how much profit we have. Are the people happy? Are we changing people's lives? Are we growing leaders inside the business?
Yes.
And so when you say what's happening at Saddlebrook, there's a lot.
Yes. Lastly, this is something everybody can get excited about. It's going to blow everybody's minds what we have coming in 2025. The new products that we've got coming, revamped to our website. You guys are going to be freaking like amazed at what's
revamped to our website.
Everything.
That's awesome.
What's coming in 2025 will shock the world. Just
go back to this podcast when you're listening to it. Just watch us in a month. Yep. Watch when 2025 hits. Just watch us.
Let's just say buying a tiny home is going to be as easy.
It's going to be insane.
As easy as buying a car. Or
as not easy. Literally, literally. It's going to be as a click of a button. It's going to be so, so insane. And I'm super excited because it's the best for the people. And it's honestly, yeah, everything you just said, God's been working in our hearts. God, we gave God our yes. And we want to advance the kingdom. And that's by being the best example in the business world. And that's what me as a 25-year-old, 24-year-old is going on. And the CEO just got engaged.
Cohen just
which is good. You guys in the back, man, if you can put her picture on there, that way the audience can see what happened. But extremely proud of him
absolutely
for making that step. And that's honestly we're all good
up. It's crazy.
Oh my goodness,
man,
there's been a lot going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah
and God willingly, 2025 is going to be our most impactful year yet.
It's going to be insane.
And it's crazy because I don't know if you guys could testify to this, I feel like our 2025 has already started.
It has
this strategy. I mean, the way we're taking care of our customers. If you thought we were taking good care of our customers 6 months ago, the way we're
just
watch.
Just it's gonna just be insane.
Watch. Yeah. And I feel like Colton has talked about our goal is to give one tiny home away a month eventually.
Yes.
I feel like 2025 is gonna get us closer to that.
We're in the talks. That is literally down the road on how that's gonna work. But it's coming.
Yep.
It's coming.
And for our viewers, giving away a home is not as easy as just giving away a home.
No, it is not.
Can you guys talk on that as well before we get into the first topic? I mean, just giving someone a home is not easy work.
No. Why would it be so crazy giving a home away? Why would we even do that? That's like the dumbest thing that I ever thought.
Whose idea was that anyway?
How about the legal matter of giving away a home?
It's not even... Even the legal matter, I mean, even for social media, you have to watch for scammers and you have to be prepared for that because, you know, they'll go in the back end and create lookalike Facebook pages and say, yeah, you know, if you want a home, and then they collect credit card, credit all that for our customers.
Yeah, put your credit card
in for you to win this. Yeah,
which that is
actually, that's the biggest thing is the scammers out there these days that will create lookalike profiles and stuff that will steal customers' information. So that's the number one thing to look out for right now.
Yeah,
so,
that's awesome. Yeah. Just to look something to look out for. But I like that you said that we have massive change coming 2025. I'm going to segue into my first topic, super insane. How are tiny homes are designed? What are our layouts, the accessibility, and are we changing the aesthetic look of our tiny homes in 2025?
I think back to the aesthetics, you always have to go with, you know, 50 years ago, you were using wall panels that, you know, right now look very outdated. So you always have to change with what's modern in today's society. Yeah. What we're doing today will not be modern in 5 years. So we know that. And we're always looking at what new products came out, what new products can we get in touch with that not only give the aesthetic look that we want, but give the same quality that you know, our customers deserve. So with that two-in factor, we're always looking for new product, but we always have to test it out to make sure it's up to the standards of Saddlebrook. And if we use it, well, then we use a lot of it. So can, you know, is it accessible for us to use a large bulk of that product? So it's always, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into redesigning, modernizing. You know, we're looking at smart homes. We're looking at how do you put Alexa in these homes? How do you put Apple in these homes?
Imagine a Siri home.
Yeah, a Siri home. It is probably coming.
Oh man.
So it's a lot of things that we're going to be bringing out in 2025. But also, I mean, there's a lot of due diligence before we just roll out a new product.
Absolutely.
And you have to, you know, if it's a new product, you also have to train on the right installments, the right quality control. So there's a lot goes into the production of training, making sure it was assembled right, making sure that the product gets arrived on time. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you don't want to sell a product that's 4 months out and then it slows everything, the whole assembly line down.
Yeah.
So
it really is interesting to think something as small as larger and skinnier windows can take that much due diligence.
Absolutely.
It's something that maybe the consumer doesn't realize. But Kyler, you were opening the door to more on-site work. Talk about that. Like, are we doing more on-site work in 2025? What are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, going into, you know, building a home that's 2,300 square feet, it's hard to transport that down the road. There are some ideas that are opening up to where we are going to be opening up that slowly to make sure, just going back to him, to make sure that we still build the best home out there with the best quality, and to where you can still get the quality with, you know, when you buy from us, that you're going to get that Saddlebrook guarantee. And that's going to be the biggest thing, is we care about our name and we care about what we build and what we come out with. It's that it's the best for our customer, for our avatar that we're targeting. And I'm just going to be honest with you. We're not for everyone. We are not. We are for the ones that really want a good, great quality product and want to work with a company that's going to be around here for a long time, and it's going to take care of them and, you know, warranties and stuff like that. So yeah. Super excited for 2025. Especially for the bigger homes, the concrete, the decks that we're offering now, it's going to be good. Yeah.
So that opens up a interesting topic, because it's crazy. Our biggest home we build here in the factory without going to two pieces is a 20 by 60.
1,200 square feet.
Yeah, 1,200 square foot. But to be honest, downsizing looks different for everybody. And what I've noticed, Colton, is that downsizing looks like 1,500 square foot to some people. They're going from a 4,000 square foot home to a 1,500 square foot home. So the fact that we're being able to service that now shows a lot of improvement, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, it takes a lot of engineering from our engineering team, our architectural team, even back to our accounting team of knowing, you know, I think in the construction world, a lot of people, they don't know exactly what a home costs. So they're always guesstimating. They're always having to figure out, all right, if I just put a 20% margin on top, then, you know, the company will make a profit.
It's not necessarily true,
because if you change one wall, well, the whole product list changes and your whole bill of materials changes. So when new products come out, not only is the architectural team and the engineering team, are they working together, but even the accounting and the production team and your inventory managers, they have to bring a bill of materials together if you're building a new product. So the whole team has to work together. I don't want to bring out a product that's overcharging our customers, but we also don't want to lose on that product.
So talk about our price guarantee, because I think that's something we do well, to be honest.
Absolutely.
Since I've been here, I've never had to charge a customer more. Talk about that.
And that's from our buying power. I mean, we get truckloads. We probably get anywhere from 10 to 12 truckloads a week in materials and lumber. And that's, you know, you're not going to your local Home Depot and buying lumber that might be $4 one day and $8 the next day, because that's just how it works. You know, we're contracted 12 months out in advance. So that way we'll know 12 months out in advance what our prices will be. Right. Now, you can't guarantee your labor. You can't guarantee a lot of things, but we can guarantee a lot of things.
But I'm guessing you're contracted 12 months in advance because of the volume that we're doing.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. So you put it. It's just like the commodities you can buy,
right,
12 months in advance on a contract that locks your prices in. So every January we look at the prices. What are the commodities? What's your materials cost? And then we contract that out under a contract for 12 months.
Yeah. I did not know that. That is really interesting. So even price guaranteeing your prices,
yes,
your lumber prices for the next 12 months.
Yeah, because Chris, when a customer comes in, let's just say John comes in and he puts down a deposit, let's say of $1,000, we're giving him that price guarantee because we're locking in materials because he made that commitment. So yeah, we have a lot of trust in our clients.
Dang, so there really is a lot of negotiations that go on the
There's a lot that happens in a business that people never, they never know that it goes on.
Yeah.
We had to learn.
True.
We had to learn the hard way.
Oh, man.
Because imagine you walking or you get on the phone and you're talking to a big corporation, a lumber corporation or whatever, and you're 22 years old or you're 21 years old. You think they're going to believe you the first time? Not until you put in a lot of orders. You build that trust up. Sure. And that's what we've had to do it has taken us since 2019 to build something to the buying power that we have. And putting in late nights and long hours and shaking hands, building relationships, and showing people that we are the real deal and we are here for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to talk about a little bit on our mission statement and what type of lifestyle do our tiny homes promote, right? Because what I love when I first came to Decap, Texas to work for you guys, it was pretty simple why we do this. We want to create a sustainable living for people to live life with peace and profits, right? So do you think our tiny homes tie into that mission statement?
Absolutely. I mean, look at the median home income or the home prices of America right now.
Yeah.
And look at what that mortgage costs versus our average mortgage that we send out. They're saving on average 110%.
Insane.
If your mortgage is $400,000, but ours is $150,000, you're going to have a lot left over buying a Saddleback home versus just a standard home on the MLS.
Absolutely.
And so what does that allow for the family is it allows it to, you know, if you want to go on vacation, it allows you to, you know, buy things for Christmas. We got Christmas coming up. You know, there's a lot of people that this Christmas, they're not having Christmas. Why? Their mortgages insane. It's through the roof and credit cards.
It's crazy.
They're sure buying out.
Yeah.
So take a look at Florida. Take a look at Texas. You talk to all of the insurance agents, all of their insurance went up. Why? They lost big time in Florida. They lost big time in North Carolina. So they're having to charge everyone else to make up for that. But guess what? If you have a $400,000 house that you bought for $250,000, but now it's worth $400,000,
yeah,
that replacement cost is $400,000. So now your insurance has to go up too.
Yeah.
So utilities, you know, you talk about energy. That's going to be under $100 a month versus a regular home is $300-$400 a month.
And that is depending on your insulation.
Depending on your new, you know, is it a 50-year-old home?
Good luck if you're
single pane windows. Single pane windows.
Right. Yeah, good luck.
You have to run your heater, you know, year round or whatever.
Yeah. Funny story before you continue. My last customer was like, is there any way we could go cheaper on the windows? I'm like, dude, do you want single pane windows? As soon as I told him single pane, it took him back to like his 50-year-old home. He's like, no. You can have the heat on blast.
And you still cold.
Yes, because those single pane, wow. They just don't protect anything. And it's like, it's crazy.
Might as well not be a window there.
Yeah, because it's crazy. We use double pane for a reason. And one of the biggest benefits of having a tiny home is it's eco-friendly, right? We use the mini splits, double pane, our R values through the roof. But look, I actually typed into AI, why has tiny home interest increased? And it's exactly what you just said. Rising home prices and inflated rent costs have made it increasingly difficult for people to secure housing. A tiny home provides an affordable solution that many are turning to.
True.
But it's not only that. I hope this is not too personal to share, Kyler, but he told me how much he's paying his mortgage for his home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, dang, dude, my dad paid that for an $800,000 home in 2020.
Correct.
That was just 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. And the tide has shifted so quick, right, that people are now starting to consider tiny homes. But it brings up my next topic. We're talking about 1,200 square feet. 1,500 square feet. We're talking about bigger homes. These are not small homes.
Yep.
My next question, and it's a viewer question, do we really build tiny homes? What's the difference between our tiny home model versus our residence model?
There's a big difference. If you look in, if you Google just tiny homes, you're going to find a 399 square foot or less.
Yep.
Tiny home on a trailer that's minimum $200 a square foot. That's what the world right now considers a tiny home. And there's a lot of SEO that goes behind it. That's throughout the word tiny home.
And explain SEO for the people.
Search engine optimization. That's Google. People are searching for. That's what people
are mostly
search phrases or keywords on Google at that specific location, right? There's that, and you're going to pay $200, $300 a square foot for, you know, a small,
yep,
300.
And that's actually what surprised me. I couldn't believe it. An actual tiny home, like 399 square foot and below, average cost is $200 to $300 a square foot.
Correct.
What are we at right now? Like our average?
Our average is about 120.
Oh my God.
So that means to our listeners, we need to go up.
Yeah.
But that's what we do better is real quick.
2025, I didn't tell you the bad news. Bad news is we're going up on prices. Spare good Jordan. I'm just joking.
The good news is we're only going up X amount.
Price lock it. $250 down, you get a price guarantee.
That's true. That is true. But back to what I was saying, and when you look at a tiny home on wheels on a frame, your equity is tied into like a mobile home. So you don't gain value in a tiny home, you lose value like a car, like a mobile home. So that's the difference in versus what we build. If you set it on that property, it's considered real property.
Right.
What is real property? Real property means the appraiser is going to come out there and it's going to appraise like a single family home.
Absolutely.
Right. So what would you rather do? Would you rather buy something for $250 a square foot? The moment that you leave that lot, you can't even sell it for $150 a square foot because it's a real life. I've been around in this industry for a while now. I haven't seen many tiny homes get resold on wheels. They just don't resell. Why? Because they're built like a, you know, they're built like an RV. They're underneath the REIA codes as well.
It's not real property though.
No, it's considered an like an RV. Some of them are under the
numbers.
Yes, they're considered underneath the RVIA codes or just a mobile home, manufactured housing.
Right. That's the difference between us and a tiny home and a.
Everything that we build, number one, is off frame. Off frame means we don't have any steel structure underneath. Okay. They don't come with axles. They don't come with anything. They come with we put skids on there just for the transportation, not for the structural integrity or anything like that. That's just that saves us from having to, you know, like a modular home that's off frame. They'll have to crane it in every single time.
Yeah. And that increases the price,
which increases the size for the end user.
Yeah.
Now, what we've created is our own transportation. We own our own logistics team.
Yeah.
So we've created our own equipment, attachments, and everything that we can get it on your property without having to rent a $10,000 crane.
Yeah.
So what does that do in the end? Well, that saves every customer $5,000 to $10,000. Well, that's a lot of money if you do quite a few homes like we do.
Right.
So we've came up with a delivery system that is almost just as important as anything else. If we can save that much there, what other avenues can we help save our customers? And it's less footprint at the site as well, which is better. Not saying if it's wet, our equipment's probably going to damage some of your yard.
Yeah.
Or your infrastructure around it, which that just happens on occasion. Doesn't happen every time.
Yeah.
But the difference in ours is it's really the appreciation and the cost. It goes up in value after delivery, not down. And that's the most important thing that customers need to realize of what they're buying. If, you know, I bought Courtney a car the other day. As soon as I drove it off the lot.
His new fiance?
His new fiance.
You just said Courtney.
Courtney a new car.
Wait, whoa. Why did he say, I got my fiance a new car? All right, Annie, I'll let it slide.
Courtney, if you're watching this,
she's going to be mad.
I'll send her a clip.
Yeah.
Clip Z.
She's going to be mad.
Clip it.
But as soon as I drove it off the lot, it lost value.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I cannot get what I gave for that car today. 2 weeks later, I still cannot get what I gave for it.
No.
The same with anything else.
Yeah.
The mobile home people will tell you, as soon as they deliver it, it's worth less than what you paid for it.
Yeah. Right.
Like an RV. Like my dad bought an RV the other day. 2 years ago, Chris, sold for $132,000. That's sticker price.
Brand new.
One bedroom. Brand new. It's an RV. Not that big. $132,000. What can we sell? What can a customer buy for $132,000?
That's a great question. You're buying a 3-bed, 2-bath for $132,000.
Correct. You want to know what he bought it for 2 years later? $40,000.
Oh, my God.
That's what I want to tell our listeners.
And that's so crazy.
That's what you have to look out for. Why is that RV down $90,000 in 2 years?
I was going to say $68,000, but I felt like that was too low.
Yep.
You
need to learn basic math. I'm just kidding. Girl vibe.
Kyler, he's mad. He's mad because
You called him out.
Clip that. Clip that.
So that's what the customers have to realize. Back to your question.
Yeah.
What's the difference? The difference is you're not going to lose $90,000 in 2 years.
Yeah.
That's true. You might get
that is that is I cannot look at a customer and say, I would sell you a product that's going to lose $90,000 in value in 2 years.
Right.
That to me would not hold up to our core values.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, that's almost shocking.
Unless you know, everybody that buys an RV knows. Now, my dad, can he get $40,000 for it? Maybe. But you have to find a buyer for that.
Right.
He could probably sell it for $35,000 now.
The thing is that RV is a very specific buyer. And I love the industry we're in because of the impact we can make. Everyone needs housing. And that is the truth.
I do say this much. Chris, how many of our buyers actually come from living in RVs for 2 years?
A lot.
They come to us and they're like, Colton, Kyler, Chris, I don't care. You need to give me a home fast. I cannot stand living in an RV any longer. They're calling me every day.
They say it rattles when it rains.
Yes. And it shakes when the wind blows. So when people look at spending $132,000 on an RV that's going to depreciate, you know, some of them might not depreciate $90,000, but this specific customer did. They could buy something from Saddlebrook for $132,000. The next year, it might be worth $136,000. The next year, it might be worth $140,000 on that property, plus the value of your land.
Right.
Right. And in real estate, if you buy a lot in the middle of nowhere, it's all location, location, location. So I'm not guaranteeing that it's going to go up in value if you buy in the middle of nowhere and expect people to buy or to pay outrageous prices for that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is strategically, real estate owned people know location, location, location. So if you buy a great piece of real estate or have a great piece of real estate that has the right location, your prices will go up.
Absolutely.
Now, I can't predict a 2008 market crash, but over historic 50 years, they have gone up.
The chart is like this.
Yes. But you're not going to get a devalue of a mobile home, of an RV, of a tiny home on wheels.
Yeah.
What you're trying to say is basically historically your house is never going to go down. But think about it. Even if you did survive 2008, your home is worth a lot more now.
Oh, absolutely.
Even if you did survive.
I wish I was when I was 8, bought me a house. Just kept it.
The best time to plant a tree is when.
Oh, it's when I was 8 years old.
But no, it was yesterday.
Okay.
But the next one. When you have a kid, I'm going to remember that. I'm like, did you need to buy your 8-year-old a house? Because he's going to appreciate that you buy him a house.
Why not buy that kid a house, put it into a truck?
Exactly. That's
rent it out, yeah. And then by the time he's 21, it's worth $100,000.
Guys, I want to touch on something because I wanted to touch on it, but I didn't want to interrupt you. You talked about trailers and car dealership and that process. I don't want to scare anybody off. We really are in a dealership. You know, we're not like I'm not going to haggle you for your money. Like, if you need our product. No, never. God, this guy. We're never going to do that. It's like not part of our core values and there's no need. The product is totally different. But what I did want to touch on is there a possibility Saddlebrook can let you check out on your own home without any human interaction online? Talk about that. Or is that just am I giving too much insight?
You're giving too much information.
I can't.
All I'm going to refer back to is just wait till 2025.
Yes. But just give us a hint, man. Come on.
I let the results speak for themselves.
Yes.
Guys, come on. Come on.
2025, guys.
No, because here's the thing. We got a lot of customers from 4, 5, 6, 7, Iowa, Terralingua, Texas. I mean, we get customers from far away.
Yeah.
And if
I think what we need to talk about is actually us like Saddlebrook going to buy a jet for like people at Terralingua.
And then
going down there, picking them up and then bringing them back and creating an airfield out back.
Yeah, maybe.
That would be, that's a great idea that we need to put on our freezer.
Get Saddlebrook to 100 million and that'll happen.
But that would be, but back to your question, Chris, not before we go to the next topic. Tyler was joking with you of like you asking for people's money. We're just joking, but Chris takes him back in the back room. Holds a gun to their head.
I do.
If you don't pay me.
If you don't pay me, it's over.
It's over.
That's it. Boom. Done.
I'm just.
No, we're not playing. Guys. No, I'm joking. Guys. But listen, I know, like, God. This is what happens.
We really let you decide. If this product is not right for you, we understand. We'll help you.
I don't know if they're joking or not.
This is why you can't do a podcast out of your friends, guys, because this stuff happens. Please don't click.
Oh, my goodness.
But here's the thing. Let's get serious for a second. Our impact is greater than you think, and I'm about to explain this. Look, I was watching PBD's podcast the other day, right? You guys know Patrick Bet David. This is what he was saying. Listen very closely. In 1970, we were building 418,000 units over 1,400 square foot. These are entry-level homes. These are young professionals. These are people graduating college. These are people, heck, graduating high school maybe, right? Only in 1970. This was 50 years ago, okay? That dropped from 418,000 units to only 55,000 units.
Wow.
1,400 square foot or less. So, I mean, we're talking about a negative 200, 300 drop in these units that young professionals could afford. So look at this. It used to be that every 4 to 10 homes were built under 1,400 square foot. That number is 1 out of 10 now.
Wow.
And here's the thing. The reason is this. If you're a home builder, you realize that the middle class is disintegrating.
Correct.
Okay. There's really not a middle class. A middle class is in debt. That's why Trump said the other day, middle class is in debt. Let's cap credit cards. Everyone Correct. Has credit card debt. So let me ask you a question, Kyler. If you had the opportunity to build a 400 square foot home and it sit on the market, or to build a 4,000 square foot home and get that specific customer that will always have money and will pay you, which one are you going to go for?
400 square feet all day, every day.
4,000 square foot all day, every day. Exactly.
You said 4,000 or 400?
4,000.
Okay.
Because as a builder, you know you're going to make more money. Okay, that's why they stopped building these 1,400 square foot homes.
And the other thing is they started building condos and apartments, townhomes.
Yeah,
why? Because they want you to rent from them.
Right.
They don't want you to own anything. Look at, you know, what are they trying to do? BlackRock, all these companies. You can buy a car in, 2 hours. What you can buy here, pay here stuff.
Absolutely.
And you're paying 27% interest and people just are okay with that.
But think about even the condos that they're building. The townhome we stayed in in Dallas, Kyler.
It was awesome.
$300,000, $400,000 townhome.
Yeah.
You don't even have your backyard is the ceiling of the building. It's like the top of the building. That's your backyard. That's
exactly. So, but here's PBD's solution, and this is why what we build is so important. PBD's solution, and it was a great solution, is to build new communities outside of the city that are more affordable. According to him, we've already seen this happen. And our most common example is Frisco, Texas. Are you guys familiar with
Frisco, Texas?
Okay, Dallas was getting too expensive. People wanted to move north of Dallas. But hear this. In 1990, can you guess how many people Frisco had?
3,000, 5,000.
6,000 people. Dude, that is a farm town.
Now it's like 500 million, it seems like.
So look at this.
DeKalb's on the map.
Yeah. Frisco only... DeKalb. DeKalb is the small town we live in, guys. Frisco in 1990 only had 6,000 people there and an average home price of $58,000. Now it has a population of over 250,000. And guess what the average home price is? And this will blow your...
650,000.
700.
Oh my gosh.
With the world becoming so unaffordable, can tiny home communities be the only answer is the question I pose. And build along the outskirts and develop affordable communities. What do you guys think? Closing statements.
My closing statement is it's not the only solution, because there's a lot of investors and developers out there that will argue, it all depends on, and I always go back, it all depends on where your location is. If you're buying in New York, your best bet is to go up.
Yeah.
If you're buying in Texas, your best bet is to go spread out. It's not to go up, because you going up is very expensive. Just depends on what your location, how much your land and everything cost, right?
Yeah.
What you can get for rent or what you can sell that condo, apartment, whatever. I think it's a answer to a lot bigger solution. I think you're going to see a lot more come in. The developers are, they're finally seeing that it's an option on the table now. Like 5 years ago, it wasn't, because they could still build on-site cheaper than we can at the factory. But now that's kind of reversed on them, because the trades have been getting scarcer and scarcer. there's more people getting out of the trades than anything right now.
Absolutely. So electric,
and there's no new ones going in.
Right.
So all of the old ones, they're 55 plus and older. Well, guess what they're doing? They own their business for 50 years or 25 years.
Shut it down.
They're going to shut it down. They don't. Their son doesn't want it. Nobody wants
it. Baby boomers. That's the biggest wealth transfer.
So that's where I see it's going to be an answer, but not the only answer. There's still people that will build 300 door apartments for that one specific area, which is the answer to that. Tiny homes are not the answer for everything, but they're going to be the solution for a lot. If that makes sense. It's all depending on location, location, location.
Yeah,
absolutely. But that's why I was so intrigued of what we build, because 1200 square foot, you're getting
not really tiny.
You're getting super competitive to what a home actually is.
Right.
All right. So those are my closing statements. If you feel like the American affordable dream is gone, we're bringing it back.
Absolutely. Homes,
for me personally, are the solution to the American affordable dream.
Mm-hmm.
Right. People come here, they move from different countries because they want home ownership, but they come here realizing they're slaving their lives away because it's so expensive to live. Our homes create a solution for a very big population of people who want to live in peace, who don't want to rent, who want equity in their homes and just want a happy family.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes me to my other point. Why does America have so little kids?
Compared to no more backyards.
There's no more backyards, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, if you go to the big cities, you live in a condo, you live in an apartment.
Right.
And it's
you don't have any
rent society.
And the other thing is you can't afford them.
Exactly.
Right. One last thing before we leave is, you know, I look up Elon Musk a lot. Like, I look at what he's doing, he's a big voice in America right now, and I think he's a very smart, I mean, who builds rockets, number one, that go up?
And then land.
You know, he's out in front of NASA that's been doing it for 150 years, it seems like. But one thing that he's done with the car industry, which intrigues me every day, is not only did he build the fanciest electric car that now it seems like every out of 10 Americans own a Tesla.
Yeah.
But he did it. And now he's bringing it into the affordable market to where GM, Ford, all of them are having to cut their prices. It's the same with the housing. How can you bring it back affordable housing? Well, number one, you start being one of the best creative and most popular. Get your advertisements out there and build a lot of them. That way you can buy down their rates, buy down the prices, and build them at a more affordable rate to where now the whole economy has to follow you.
And talk about how Elon set up, though.
Yes. How he did that is he went, you know, he lost profits for a whole year, but he knew where he was wanting to go. He knew that if he did it, the other companies would have to slash their prices, and guess what it did for hard-earning Americans? It let them get into a car that was affordable, that was actually worth the price. Now, did he piss off a lot of, you know, Tesla owners that paid overpriced? Absolutely. But he had the bigger end in mind.
Right.
Is now you can buy a Tesla for $35,000. That's insane. It's definitely worth that. But guess what he did with Ford, GM, all of the other EV makers? He's making them come down on their prices too.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's wanting to make cars affordable again. Cars still, does not cost you $95,000 to build a truck.
It's ridiculous.
Right?
Ridiculous.
But why do you pay for it? Because there's no other option.
Right.
It's like a monopoly. And that's what we want to do with the housing is we want to create the monopoly to where they have to follow our prices. If we build faster, cheaper, better, they have to either follow with it or they will go out of business.
Mm.
Because if I can buy that same product, if I want to buy a Tesla or an EV vehicle, why would you go spend $100,000 on a Hummer that you can buy that same Cybertruck for $79,000? So they're having to follow.
Wow, no, I did not think of it.
They're having to follow that to stay in competitive with Elon. And so he's a trendsetter. He's out in front of everyone. You know, did you know one thing that Elon does with Tesla? They have literally zero. They have zero patents. They will give you the software.
So he's letting people copy Tesla.
Right. He has no patents on anything that he does. Even this rocket has zero patents. Why? Because he knows he's the trendsetter. He's the creative one. That's all I got. So where I want to lead Saddlebrook is into how do we become a trendsetter to where people have to follow us. It's better for many if we can get everyone to drop their prices, become more affordable, become better quality for a better price. Yep. Why? Because it's better for the American people. It has a bigger mission than anything. Is how do you become an influence to other people? Mm-hmm. Even though they don't buy our product, why not have Americans live a better life?
Absolutely. I love that. That's a good mission.
Yeah, that was good.
For Saddlebrook is to be the trendsetter and to bring everybody to get their prices done to make the American dream affordable again.
Right.
And that's what we want to bring back is Saddlebrook to be that trendsetter.
Correct. Yep. And last thing I'll say is that's what happens when you live for purpose.
It does. Absolutely.
And yeah, we're living out our purpose, man. So I really appreciate you, Colin. I appreciate you, Kyler. And guys,
you, Chris.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Tiny Home Podcast, again, powered by Saddlebrook. Guys, don't forget to like, comment, share with someone. If we didn't get your question answered, drop a comment. If you like the video, like it. And if you know someone who might benefit from hearing this podcast, share it, guys. Guys, it's
thank
Chris,
you guys.
Colton, and Kyler, and we're out of here.
Thanks, guys. Go. Peace.
See you.
If you enjoyed this video, drop a like. If you have any questions we didn't answer, drop a comment. And guys, tune into next week's episode where we will continue to educate you about the tiny home industry.